May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in His holy word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and we'll read verse 32. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, and we'll read verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a very clear and a very simple statement, and yet so few people seem to understand the relevance of it. The relevance really is to everyone, and it will be a great, wonderful blessing if the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and convinces us that we before a holy God are indeed a sinner, and to then direct us to the great and important consideration that we need repentance. Every born-again believer receives this great and wonderful gift of repentance. It's not just a theological word. It's a very necessary word in our personal experience, in our personal testimony, to be able to come and acknowledge that because of God's mercy, because of His love, He has granted to us that spirit of repentance. And that simply means to be truly sorry for our sins. And in order to be sorry for our sins, we need to realize that we have sinned. If we don't know before our holy God that we're a sinner, we won't know that we need repentance. But what a wonderful blessing it is when the Holy Spirit comes directly to us, as blessedly He does, as individuals, and shows to us our situation before a holy God. And that will demonstrate to us, without any doubt, that we are a sinner, and that we need forgiveness, and that we need God to bless us with this wonderful spirit of repentance. You know, when the Lord Jesus commenced preaching, it's very significant, the first things that He said, really, when He commenced preaching. And you can read this in the Gospel of Mark, in the first chapter, and the 15th verse. We'll read the 14th. And now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. These are the first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He commenced His public ministry. He'd been baptized, and in the same chapter we read about that, and how God was pleased because we're told there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What a blessing, therefore, to realize that then the Lord Jesus was given this great and glorious work this work of salvation and to realise the relevance of it to every true believer. It is not something that you and I can despise. It's not something that you can and I can think it of as irrelevant, but it's a great blessing when God comes, and it is God's gift to give us repentance, to repent of our sins. Now, we won't do that, as I've said, until we are convicted of our sins. So I wonder this morning, if I was to ask you before God, are you convicted of your sins? And are you convicted of your sins to such an extent that you realise those sins are against God? Those sins are because you have disobeyed God. Those sins are because you've turned your back upon God. Those sins are perhaps because you said in your heart, I will not have this man to reign over me. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. Where it will be a great blessing if the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you, convicts us each, that we are before a holy God a sinner and that we need forgiveness. As I've often said, there are no unforgiven sinners in heaven. And if we are to be a forgiven sinner, it'll be because God gives us that spirit to be truly sorry for our sin, to truly repent of our sins, and truly desire to be kept, as the Apostle Peter said, kept by the power of God, and not satisfied to just continue in sin and not make light of sin, because the reality is that all of our sins that you and I may perhaps categorise as small sins and big sins, whatever category they may fall into, it doesn't matter, because they're all sin, and every sin has to be pardoned, and every sin has to be taken away, and you and I need to be blessed with repentance over all those sins. And you may think, well, that's easy. But let me tell you, it's not easy. Because very often we're quite fond of sin. Quite often we go after sin. Quite often we're pleased to indulge in sin. And what does it do when it produces that barrier between us and our God? And what a mercy, therefore, if we have the wonderful evidence of the glorious work of Almighty God toward us. What a mercy, then, here we have in this verse, where the Lord says, I came not to call the righteous. And again, it's very easy to be self-righteous. It's very easy to look around and say, well, I'm not as bad as that person, and I haven't done that sin, and therefore to really try and justify ourselves. Whereas in actual fact, we cannot do that. We need to be justified by the blessed and glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in this 32nd verse, we're told what Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. And previously, the previous verse reads, and Jesus answering, said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Left to ourselves, we are self-righteous. We don't consider the sins that we've done are very relevant. We may think that they're too small to be worried about. And yet you see, the Word of God doesn't categorize sins as such. We know that every sin has to be taken away. Every sin has to be paid for. And so the Lord comes and tells us, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So what that really means is, has God called us, called you, called me, to repent of our sins? Now no one knows whether that's true apart from yourself and myself. As you and I stand before a holy God, and again we won't recognize that as such until the Holy Spirit convinces us of the holiness of God and the unholiness of ourselves and the need we have to truly come and to repent and take on board the relevance of these great and important truths. In a later chapter in this Gospel of Luke, in the 13th chapter, we read on two occasions, the Lord says, well, let me just read the previous verse. And there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? And that's the natural mind working. You and I might respond like that. But what did Jesus say? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, it's a very personal thing this is. It's not something which is that which you and I can pass off. And he goes on to reinforce the truth. He says, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? That's the natural man talking. And sometimes we might think that ourselves. We might see someone who's died and or someone who's killed, and we might think, well, perhaps they deserve that. Well, the Lord answers that situation and tells them very clearly, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So therefore this is not something which is optional. This is not something which is irrelevant. And repentance stems from the conviction that you and I are a sinner before a holy God. Unless the Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sins, we shall not think that we need any repentance. It won't be relevant. It won't be in our vocabulary. We won't be concerned about it. But what a great and wonderful blessing, and what a great and wonderful favour if the Holy Spirit has come to us and called us to repentance. Came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord calls his people to repentance. What a mercy, therefore, for us today to have a look into our heart and to perhaps come and say, well, you know, I think I did sin there, I did do that wrong, and I did have that wrong thought. Well, the reality is, that is true, but has the Holy Spirit given you and me the Spirit to repent, to be truly sorry for our sin, to confess it before God? Have we Have you and I confessed our sins before God? Have we come before Him as that just and righteous God who has shown to us something of what we are by nature and taught us to seek for repentance and taught us to seek for forgiveness? You know, the Apostle Paul was a righteous man. He was blessed, but he realized himself, he realized his condition, he realized that he was indeed a sinner. And he gives us some wonderful words when he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher, and Paul wrote two letters to him to instruct him in many things. And in the first chapter of the first epistle, the apostle speaks about himself. And he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord," verse 12, "who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And how true that is. How until we are called by the grace of God to show us our true condition before a holy God, we really do these things ignorantly in unbelief. But it would be a wonderful blessing if God gives us that faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who can take away our sins. And what does he go on to say? "And the grace," that means the free unmerited favour, "of our Lord was exceeding abundant." And it's good when you and I recognise that. That God's grace to you and to me was exceeding abundant. And we'll only recognise that when the Holy Spirit shows us how exceeding abundant are our sins. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, the apostle was convicted and convinced of his sin. He was convinced that he was the chief sinner. It'd be a blessing when you and I stand before God convinced that we are the chief sinner. Now, this is not something that you and I can just inherit naturally. It's the wonderful work of the Spirit of God. And when that Spirit directly shows to us that we can't throw stones at other people, we can't say, "Well, there's a worse sinner than me, and I wouldn't have done that." It's when the Holy Spirit convinces us that we are a sinner before God, and not only a sinner, but the chief of sinners. And that is the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. And that's a wonderful favour. And then the apostle goes on to say, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy." What a favour to think that you and I, unworthy sinners that we are, great sinner, the worst of sinners that we are, can obtain mercy. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. It's a personal experience between your soul and my soul and God. It's a very wonderful favour and a very special situation. But it is something which we know. It's not something which is just abstract. It's something which is very real. To recognise that by the grace of God, we have obtained mercy. Because God has given us that grace of repentance. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. What a mercy when God shows us how long suffering he's been to us. He hasn't cut us off. He hasn't taken our life and cast us into hell. It's because he's long-suffering. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You know, that truth and that realization and that evidence causes Paul then to rejoice in his Saviour. And that will cause you and me to rejoice in the Saviour. And so he says in the 17th verse of this first chapter, now unto the King eternal. And it's good to address the Saviour in a right way. King eternal. Always was, is and ever will be. Now unto him, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. What was such a revelation of our sinfulness before God and a revelation of his mercy and grace toward us produce? It will surely produce the desire to praise him, just like the Apostle Paul came to when he was able to say, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Well, this morning as God looks into our hearts, I wonder whether we can understand the glorious pattern that we have set before us in the Word of God. The Lord has given us this grace and glorious pattern to observe and to follow and realise the wonderful favour of it. You know, it comes into those words that the Apostle wrote. They're well-known words, but I never tire of repeating them in the second chapter of the Ephesians. When he comes down to the 8th verse, well, let me read the 7th verse. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's the wonderful avenue. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How humbling it is to realize that God, in his amazing mercy and love to such unworthy sinners, has quickened us, made us spiritually alive to understand our condition before a holy God, and given us that grace to flee for refuge to the Saviour. Hymn writer has it, a refuge for sinners the gospel makes known, it is found in the merits of Jesus alone. As we are a convicted sinner, as we are given grace to repent of our sins, it'll bring us to the cross. It'll bring us to Calvary. We shall indeed rejoice in the great and glorious work of salvation. And the result will be that you and I will come and we will desire truly to thank and praise Almighty God, who has given us that great and wonderful gift of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith to seek repentance from our Lord Jesus Christ and to truly come to him. What a blessing, what a wonderful Saviour we had. And the Apostle, when he wrote to the Hebrews, this beautiful book, as you and I no doubt realise, he tells us this in the 6th verse, 11th chapter. This is the chapter which speaks about faith. It commences with the first verse: faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in the 6th verse we read, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But again, what a blessing when God comes and gives you and me grace to come to him and to believe that he is that one who is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And he gives us faith to come and truly diligently seek the Lord for forgiveness. Seek the Lord for the gift of repentance and come to him. Yes, realizing that the door of his mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. What a mercy, what a blessing it is that you and I have such a great and wonderful and glorious Saviour. And what a wonderful plan it is if we sit down and ponder and realise how wonderful it is, how wonderful and a blessing it is that God has granted to us these things. Well, you know, when the Apostle Paul was at Athens, you may remember he was there to begin with by himself, and he went and stood on Mars Hill, a little hill in Athens, and preached the gospel. That was his great privilege. That was his great desire. What a mercy. And as he preached, he said, for I passed by and told them, behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Well, I hope that you and I come with living faith to the true God and truly come to him. And then the Apostle goes on and tells us that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. You see, every true believer who is called by the grace of God seeks the Lord. And that's from the heart. It's not just some theory in the head. You think, oh, I've got to seek God. It's because you have a need, because you're a sinner, because you're a destitute person, you need forgiveness, you need the gift of repentance. That's why you come, to seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, And certain also of your own poets have said, but we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. No, we come to a real living God. And so the 30th verse of this 17th chapter in the Acts tells us this. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. We were ignorant of the things of God. We turned our back upon things of God. Oh, my friends, we come into this category, don't we? A time of this ignorance God winks at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's a very simple statement, isn't it? It's a very solemn statement. You and I will never be able to come before the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, I never knew I had to repent. We had to repent. And we need the grace of God to repent. But what a blessing it is when God gives us that grace to come to God and to repent and to truly be sorry for our sins. And if it's a true act of repentance, the result will be that instead of going in that direction which we now repent of, we'll turn round and we'll go in the opposite direction. Instead of going away from Christ, by the grace of God, we'll be coming to Christ. It's the glorious gospel, it's the wonderful grace of God which the Apostle Paul so desired to raise and to exalt and to make us mindful of. And what a blessing it is today when you and I recognise also the glorious grace of God and can come and thank God for such a word as this. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There he was on Mars Hill. Now they were all unbelievers around him. And he comes and he speaks. He preaches the gospel faithfully to these Athenians. My friends, you and I have this wonderful truth before us today. And what a mercy, therefore, if we recognise these glorious words of the Saviour. I came not to call the righteous, not to call those who are righteous in their own eyes, think they're worth considering, they think they've got some good in themselves. The Apostle Paul tells us, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How was he taught that? By the Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is when the Holy Spirit shows us that we're no better, that we have to stand and say, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But what a mercy if God has given you and me that spiritual life wherein does dwell something good, because it's the new life which God gives, and it's a new life which is granted to us through the wonderful electing love of the Saviour. Oh, my friends, rejoice in the gospel. Rejoice in those words which we've already quoted in that second of Ephesians, and to be able to come and say, yes, he's made me spiritually alive. I've received that gift to pray to him for repentance. God has blessed me, and I realise I couldn't do it myself. And therefore I desire to praise and to thank my God, who has dealt with me so wonderfully. Yes, nothing in ourselves is that. nothing ourselves to merit esteem or to give our Creator delight. No, it's because of his amazing love to unworthy sinners. What was it that caused Jesus to come into the sinful world? What was it that caused him to live those 33 years in this sinful environment? What was it that caused him to be willing to go to the cross and to pay that enormous price to take away our sin? What was it? Love. His love. And to realise the love of Christ is rich and free. We never merited it. We never merited it. But what a blessing if God has shown to us that this word is true in our spiritual life, that he's called us to repentance. He's called us to seek unto him. He's called unto him, us, to look to him. Oh, blessed gospel, isn't it? And the hymn writer says, "The gospel, I love it. 'Tis perfectly free." Amazing, isn't it? That such a great and wonderful pardon should be given freely to unworthy sinners. What is the result? The result is this. Not that we loved God, but he loved us. What will it produce? Love in our souls to the Saviour. And that's not something that you and I can generate ourselves. It's the gift of God. But my friends, it's something to be humbled about and thankful for, and to rejoice in the freeness of the gospel, and to realise the Lord is merciful. He's kind. He doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve, but he blesses our soul, and the result will be that you and I will desire to honour and to glorify his name. The word of God tells us, let us exalt his name together. We will have cause to praise him. We will have cause to thank him. So this morning, as we ponder these words, may we truly meditate on them and recognize the relevance of them in our own spiritual life, because real religion is very personal. You and I stand before God. You and I must know personally the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. You and I must know personally he came to die for us. He paid the price for our redemption, and the price was his sin atoning blood, as the Apostle Peter says, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Blessed be God. Amen.